I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15pm on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchase goes towards keeping Cafe Track and Track NN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
Rain again. And he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah!
Get it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Charles. This is the preview show of hopefully a game that will go ahead, although we're not going to hold our breath on that, are we? With me, as usual, is Danny. He's back. Preview show you missed last week because you weren't feeling well. Just confirm that you're still alive, Danny.
Yeah, I'm still here, I think. But Neil, like I said on the pod on Sunday, Neil did a great job filling in. So sorry to all the Neil fans out there who wanted Neil back permanently. But
I did have a couple of messages.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, on Twitter, saying, please don't bring Danny back. We're fed up with his stories about goats. I thought that was quite unfair.
It's a little bit rude, but
you know one thing that I do want to check? While you weren't well, who was looking after the chickens?
My daughter, Faith, was looking after. She's 9. No, she's 10. Sorry, she won't listen. It's been a long day. She was looking after them. She generally does a lot of the looking after it, so it's
fabulous.
It's all good. Goats are still intact as well.
Good. That's what everybody wanted to know. Yeah. And that's it. End of podcast. Yeah. Goodbye.
Also, what you said as well last week about me downing a pizza to console myself because we'd just gone out of the pizza cup, that was partly true. I think the next night I did have a pizza and then I started feeling ill. So it was pretty much true what you said last week.
Oh, no.
Just too much dough after trying to waft down a whole, pepperoni pizza, just to drown my sorrows that we're not going to Wembley.
Oh, mate, I did think about you. I was like, oh, the poor Danny is going to be so gutted.
Devastating.
Turns out, though, that was the last time we actually played a game of football, Danny.
Yeah, I probably should have watched it.
Yeah, you probably should have done. it does feel a little bit, I don't know, like a long time ago. I know we had that huge break last year, March to whenever it was, June or July. And yet a week has now felt exactly the same.
Yeah.
I've kind of not known what to do with myself. And especially, I think, this time because it all got both games, Oxford on Saturday and then Blackpool on Tuesday, both of them were called off at not relatively short notice, I wouldn't say, but on the day. And so you kind of get up and you go, yes, we've got football today or tonight. And then it was taken away from us cruelly by the weather and a lack of being able to control the weather. As some Oxford fans, we can do.
The Blackpool one was weird though, because there was a few people who live in Blackpool, some of our fans, who said there's no way it's going ahead tonight, didn't they? It was first thing in the morning, and it took for our coaches to go on a 4 or 5 hour trip up there and get there. And what was it, about an hour and a half before kickoff? Was it they called it off?
I think it was. I think it was 5:30. Was the official announcement. So it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 o'clock it was meant to kick off, wasn't it? I keep forgetting that.
I do wonder if it's something to do with the fans not being there, that they call it, they just leave it as late as they can because they know they haven't got fans coming up. But
yeah,
it's still a bit annoying, isn't it, for
absolutely. I mean,
nice
you've got to think. Yeah, I mean, as much as you've got to think about the players and the staff, but you know, you've also got people like James Hennigan who've travelled up on his own in the car. to get there to find out. I think he actually put out on Twitter to say that he just got sight of the Blackpool Tower as the news came through that the game was off. So you've got a feel for them. But one thing that it did lead to, I don't know whether you noticed this, Danny, but the other game involving a Northamptonshire club on Tuesday night was an FA Vars match, I think, between Kettering and Leamington. And it was meant to be played at, I nearly said Rockingham Road then, RIP, meant to be played at Latimer Park. But because of a waterlogged pitch there, the game was switched to be played at Leamington Stadium. And then at half time, the floodlights failed.
Yes. Didn't they have a massive ruck or something as well?
Absolute massive ruck where a Kettering player got sent off. And there was also apparently the player got sent off. The Leamington Twitter account said it was for hitting the referee. Whereas John Dunham, who was the reporter for the Evening Telegraph, said that he basically just tap the referee's hand out of the way or something.
Yeah, it didn't look too much from what I saw of it. No. Definitely wasn't a hit.
And if you go and look at Leamington's Twitter feed, I mean, it's incredible. It makes it sound like the Kettering player has turned into the Incredible Hulk. Because apparently, first of all, he doesn't want to leave the field of play and he's like standing there going, no. Then he gets escorted out off the pitch, refuses to go down into the dressing room, then gets told, no, you've got to go down, goes down the dress, then comes back out of the dressing room and tries to get back on the pitch and some stewards hold him back. The words of the Twitter. I was just like that going, this is brilliant.
Yeah, that's top quality
entertainment. What entertainment.
Yeah. That's all you needed to do when our game was called off, to go on the Twitter feed and just follow it.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. But then it was the fact that the second half, because of that floodlight failure, that second half didn't kick off till 10:30 at night.
No. And then they finished with 8 men as well.
Yeah. Two more sendings off. 3-0 defeat.
That's what you want to see.
And yet, all I could think about all the way through watching this and all the way through the evening was James Acaster's Kettering Town song. That's literally, every time I saw it on Twitter come up, I just, in my head, was going, K to the E to the T to the T. Fabulous. Absolutely brilliant. So there you go. You can entertain yourself even when the Cobblers get postponed. Anyway, from one postponement to what is probably going to be another one on Saturday, the Cobblers travel up north to Lincoln City. I don't know why I went up north as if they're in Lincolnshire, as if they're in Yorkshire, because they're in Lincolnshire. But there we go. And with us to join us, can you tell I've not scripted this, Danny? It's really bad, isn't it? joining us for the second time in the space of about a month is Lincoln City fan Jake Tong. How are you doing, Jake? You okay?
Yeah, good, thank you, Charles. And Danny, feeling a bit like a regular on this this podcast. And you were talking a little bit about goats there. I didn't realise that George Grant was living in Northamptonshire at this moment in time. So, but yeah, good to be on. Thank you very much.
Danny mentioned Tony Battersby in our WhatsApp group.
That's a good name.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one. How's your Christmas, New Year been since we last spoke?
Yeah, it's been a bit quiet, obviously, the restrictions. I mean, in terms of the football, Lincoln have been doing great. That win over Burton, etc. But apart from that, working, key worker down at the co-op, so don't seem to get much time off at the minute. He says that whilst on a 2-week holiday. But yeah, so can't complain. I'm earning a bit of money while most of the country aren't. So, you know, I can't really complain at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I suppose really, Lincoln City this season have been giving you something to smile about pretty much every single Saturday and Tuesday.
Yeah, we seem to be doing all right, don't we? For a team that are supposed to finish mid-table, well, a lot of people predicted to finish mid-table, we seem to be doing all right most Saturdays. We struggle at home, which I think we'll probably get onto later, but they're making us really proud to support Lincoln, and it's just a real shame that we can't go and watch like one of the most successful Lincoln City teams has ever been, and we're not allowed to go there. It's a bit upsetting, but as long as I can watch on a dodgy iFollow stream somewhere, I'm not too fussed.
That is it, isn't it? A dodgy iFollow screen, that'll work every single time. I mean, one thing that I will always go with, I'm really happy to see Lincoln doing really well at the top of League One. Because obviously when you were at the top of League Two the last time and you won the league in 2018-19, it was only then 2 years later that we got promoted. A year later that we got promoted. I can't understand maths at the
time. Time, Charles.
Yeah, exactly. Something's going wrong and something's got to go right in a minute for me, I promise you. But this could mean, Danny, that next year's our year.
Could, but it wouldn't. I don't think.
No, that's a fact, man. We basically just follow Lincoln City up through the leagues. Every time they get promoted, we just have to wait another season.
Yeah, do you know what? I've actually got a concept on that. Sorry, Danny, but the year before we won the National League, we on the final day we went to Cheltenham and they won the league that year and we went up the following year. And on the final day of our season at home, we played Macclesfield. And then Macclesfield came up the year after. So, you know, we're having some serious stalker problems going on in the English football somewhere. Northampton add that to the list, clearly. So we expect to see you guys in the Championship in 22-23 or whenever it is.
Did you see that, Danny? He got a bit big for his boots then and just decided that they're already promoted. Did you notice?
I enjoyed that. We were just before we came on, we were chatting and Jake was saying, complaining that the Tuesday night results hadn't gone for him, so they've gone off the top. And I thought, that's a lovely problem to have, that, isn't it? I'll quite enjoy that problem. But no,
especially when it's by goal difference.
Yeah. I've still got my bottom lid down. I've still got my still not happy about it.
But like looking at the table as well, you look at yourselves in the middle of all Hull, Portsmouth, Doncaster, Peterborough, Charlton, like really established clubs at this level, especially, and if not the level above, you must be still kind of living the dream a little bit.
I'm pinching myself nearly every day to make sure that we actually are where we are on the table. I think there's 9 ex-Premier League teams in League One this year, and you know there's a lot of big clubs. You know, you said you didn't even mention Sunderland there, who are like too big for this league. If you ask all of their fans, I'm sure you'll get that on their preview shows or whatever. But yeah, absolutely surreal we've had a real surreal sort of last 5 years, obviously with the cup run and winning League Two the way we did. Last year wasn't great, but you know, you guys had a good year, so we'll let you off. So yeah, it's not bad, but you know, we can always, Appleton always strives for the best, and I think we might get that.
Let's quickly talk about Michael Appleton, because he doesn't have the best relationship with Cobblers fans.
I've heard.
I mean, do you think that this is something that he would have been expecting this season?
Probably not, because at the start of the season, we've sort of had to reduce our budget by 40% to what it was last year. So he's obviously working in a very tight area. I feel like we did the Stacey West podcast, somebody that I work with. We did a live podcast with Michael sort of just before Christmas of our first year back in League One. And he said at the end of his contract, he wanted Lincoln to be a Championship club, which was a 3.5-year contract. So, and he always talks about how we're ahead of schedule. So I sort of think he wanted us to sort of establish ourselves in the league, because last year, you know, we were sort of happy that it got curtailed a little bit, because if we were going the way we were going, we probably would have got relegated or been sucked into that relegation battle with Tranmere. And then we'd been playing, you know, the likes of Salford and, you know, them sort of rubbish teams. I mean, we're ahead of schedule, no doubt. I feel like we're not ready for the Championship. But, you know, a season in the Championship, it's going to be fun for everybody, I think. You know, Wickham, look at Wickham, they're having a right ball. I've got a few Wickham mates who, you know, they're loving it. So hopefully, but yeah, we're definitely ahead of schedule massively. Probably another season in League One wouldn't do us any harm, but I'm not going to say no to promotion or a title ahead of Hull City. Obviously, we're big rivals, so yeah, we don't like them.
I think it's interesting that you sort of said about, you know, ahead of schedule and, you know, maybe spending another year in League One, all very kind of actual realistic ways of looking at things. But I always go back to how my dad has always said, which is that you let it happen when it happens. Don't ever turn around. Like a lot of our fans, for example, say including me in a way, I look at it and go, maybe we got promoted a year too early.
Yeah.
You know, we lost a lot of our squad. Now, had we not got promoted at the end of last season, maybe we'd still have the likes of Jordan Turnbull, Scott Wharton, you know, at the club, and we wouldn't have lost as many players as we did. I'm not saying that Charlie Goode wouldn't necessarily have got his move to Brentford, Danny, but there's potential that a lot of the players that we did let go or that did move on to other clubs, Verdane Oliver, for instance, I don't think he would have left because I don't think anybody would have looked at him and apart from those playoff games. So, you know, it's one of those where you kind of go, okay, realism maybe says that, yeah, okay, you could have either got promoted a year early or in this case you might want to think about staying, but there's no guarantee that if you don't go up this season that next year you will. So you've got to sort of take it when it comes, and yeah, okay, it could mean that you have a pretty difficult time like we're finding out this season. You might have the same sort of thing happen in the Championship next year if you go up, but that's part and parcel of football and part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said earlier, a year in the Championship, even if, you know, we're getting battered, you know, like Wickham are, you know, especially if we can go to the games, you know, Lincoln being on a level playing field with somebody like Watford, or you know, you look at the teams at the bottom of the Premier League, like Sheffield United, although they've traditionally been quite a lower league team, haven't they? So I shouldn't really include them. But, you know, to see Lincoln at that level, I first started supporting Lincoln when we were dropping out of the Football League, when we came 23rd in League 2, 10-11, I think it was. Steve Tilson was our manager. But, you know, over that period, yeah, it's been great. And, yeah, sorry, I'm sort of rambling a little bit here, but... But no,
it's
yeah,
fine. Ramble away.
Ahead of schedule, yeah. The thing is, we've got a really young squad at the minute. I think we've probably, you know, every manager says, oh, we've got the youngest squad in the league, a.k.a. Steve Evans. He always seems to say that. we don't like Steve Evans, if you couldn't tell. But, yeah.
Who does?
No, exactly. You're absolutely right. We've got the youngest. I think the idea is that we've got such a young playing squad this year so that they can have a year developing in League One as a unit, and then we go on and push for promotion like we did in League Two. We sort of had that year where we got to the playoffs with quite a relatively, you know, mixed squad, and then we went out, we assessed the league and what it was about, and we went and, you know, we signed like John Akinde, we signed Harry Toffolo, players like of that ilk, that went on to make us League Two winners. But yeah, I mean, Championship football, who's really going to say no to that? I mean, would you guys say no to Championship football at the minute?
Absolutely not. I mean, we won't say no to League One football next season at the moment. So.
I think I might.
I think you get the moments as well, though, don't you? We wouldn't take what happened to us in the playoffs away from us.
Yeah,
like for anything, like for what it did for us in lockdown, to be able to watch the playoffs, the way we came back in the semi-final, the final experience as to what we go through is pretty much once in a lifetime stuff. Yeah. And you remember all those matches and the games that seal it, don't you? So if you win promotion, you're not going to care about, you know, next season, are you? You deal with that when you come with it.
Yeah.
But football's all about those moments that you hold to you. So go for it.
Callum Morton was quite a big part of your playoff. Pictures.
Quite a big single-handedly. Yeah. I don't think we would have even got into the playoffs without Callum Morton, to be fair.
So he's hardly played for us at all this year. He's had a bit of a setback. He's injured, actually, at the minute. So you guys are probably going to miss him, but I think he comes back February. But from what we've seen, unbelievable little footballer.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it's quality. It's just his work rate and everything. He just, as well as his finishing, like not a lot of players have both. So quite glad that hopefully this game comes before his bat. Let's hope he don't get postponed and then his first game back's on a Tuesday night against us. Because we would have dodged him twice then, thankfully.
Well, while we're talking about players, Danny, you usually go and pick out a player. Now, last week, I thought Neil did quite well in your absence to just suddenly pick out a player that had already moved on to another team. Can you do any better, Danny, is the question with Lincoln City.
Let's hope so, because on the weekend pod, I picked out a player who wasn't even with Oxford anymore. That was fun. So quite nervously going into this one, but I'm going to go with you were talking about young players earlier. The guy who came on, sorry, I think he started actually, but he scored twice late on against us last time, Brennan Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be fit. So
good, that's a good start.
Round of applause.
Yeah, nice. he looked pretty impressive. He scored, what, about five times, I think, so far this season? On loan from Forest. Looked a pretty good prospect so far.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of had our fingers stung with Forest in the past recently. We had Tyler Walker last season, obviously at Kovnau. He scored about 20 goals before Christmas. And on the last day, they could have possibly recalled him in the window. You all know what happened. He got recalled. We got no replacement. So we're sort of eagerly watching over Brennan Johnson. But, you know, the impact that he's made, he's such a key player for us because he can win games on his own. You know, I think his dad was Dave Johnson, who was at Ipswich, I believe.
Oh, yeah, is it? He make us feel old.
But, no, the way he carries the ball, the way he runs at defenders and commits. I think he made his debut up at Blackpool. We won 3-2 and he won two penalties on his debut. He's that sort of player that if he runs at your defenders and if you guys can have Kean Boulder at the back, who likes to leave a bit of a foot in, Brennan Johnson's going to initiate the contact and go down and win as a penalty. Fingers crossed. The perfect scenario, really. But no, I mean, you've picked out a very good... The thing is, with Lincoln, there's a lot of players that you probably could have picked out this year. I mean, not to blow our own trumpets. But Brennan was certainly... I feel like he's another Jack Grealish-esque player in the fact that he's on his first senior loan spell, like Jack was with Notts County, and Brendan's going to go on and have a career in the Premier League. I've got no doubt about it. He's made his Wales senior debut whilst he's been with us. So, yeah, top player, and hopefully, fingers crossed, he can bag another two against you two on Saturday, should we be allowed to go on the grass pitch.
One thing that I want to point out is that, so whenever we do a preview show, then I always go on to the team's official website and go and look at the first team squad. And first of all, I want to say that you've got the best squad website page of every League One club so far that I've looked at. Mainly because, I know that this is probably down to the media team at Lincoln City. So, Jack, don't take any credit at all here, Jake, whatsoever. It's not you. but first of all, a different font has been used for the names. I like that. There's a bit more of an edginess to that font. I don't know what it is. Any font geeks out there will maybe tell me what it is. But second of all, it's the fact that all the player photos are of... You know, they're not just stood there looking into a camera. They're doing something, which is nice. Max Melbourne giving the loser sign. I like that one. That's good.
Theo Archibald looks like he's up to something.
Oh, well, he always is, isn't he? Theo Archibald. He looks a bit cheeky there.
Sitting on the bench mainly this season.
Can I just point out, though, my absolute favourite isn't Mort, unfortunately, but it is... George Grant. He looks like he's going for it with his picture. He's doing that come on kind of
expression. Yeah, I've seen the goal gif. Yeah. He's absolutely he's a passionate lad, is George.
That Callum Morton picture, that's one from when he was with us, wasn't it? They just photoshopped the Lincoln shirt on him.
I'm pretty sure he has just had the Lincoln shirt photoshopped.
He's played about 20 minutes of football with Lincoln, so there wouldn't be, they're clutching at straws, really. But yeah, I'll pass your feedback on to Terry and the team. I'm sure they'll be delighted that it's all Cobblers to Me podcast approve of their font picture.
We're the only ones that count, you see. That's what it's all about. I just want to say, Danny, I don't know. Have you got the screen up in front of you at the moment? So forwards, right at the bottom, you've got Zach Elbuzedi.
He
reminds me of somebody else.
You just don't know.
I genuinely don't know. It's not like a guess.
Type of player we'd get on loan. From out of nowhere, and he'd play a game and then go back.
They need to update it because he went to Bolton the other day, so they need to sort of Photoshop a Bolton shirt onto him like they did with Callum.
And the other one that I wanted to just point out to you, Danny, is Adam Jackson. Where's the number 5 shirt? He's doing his best Jordan Turnbull lookalike impression.
He is, yeah. Good tattoo as well.
Great tattoo, love it.
this is the top quality content you get when we're not quite sure whether the game's going ahead or not.
This is it. It's one of those, isn't it? I want to just point out that in the Slack channel, so if you're a Patreon supporter of the podcast, then you can come and join our Slack channel. Please do. It's lots of fun, and it's only like £2 a month. That's it. And it's a nice safe place for us all to hang out and have a chat, have a bit of a laugh with each other. Anyway, we do. Danny set it all up. Well done, Danny. We've got a predictions channel in there. So every match day, Danny puts a post in and says, come on then, guys, let's get your predictions for the game. And on Saturday, I'd just like to point out that my match prediction that was made... Oh, no, sorry, this was Tuesday. My match prediction that was made at, what, about 10 o'clock in the morning? Postponed Waterlogged pitch. I thank you very much. So that is now the playoff final, live on BBC Radio Northampton, prediction of 4-0 win, and the Blackpool game. I'd just like to say I'm retiring from the predictions game on the It's All Cobblers to Me Slack channel. It's been a privilege. I will take my crown and I will go and sit on my throne. Thank you very much.
This is why you get all the media appearances.
It is. Yeah, you're right. That's why BBC keep asking me to appear on Five Live and all this other stuff. Anyway, let's move on. Let's actually talk about the game as if it's going to happen. I don't want a prediction from you yet, Jake.
Good.
But what I do want from you is just what your thoughts are going into the game. I mean, obviously, you've got to be pretty confident at the moment. You've already smashed us 4-0. Before the podcast, you were saying, oh, it's bound to be 6 this time around.
Yeah, so you've left me out to dry there a little bit, Charles. I appreciate that.
Of course
that.
I have.
Well, obviously, you know, you look at the table and we're second, could go top with a game in hand, and you guys are sort of down the bottom in a 19th, are you, I would guess. Obviously, we're at home. We'd expect to win, but you have to look at our home form, and it's not really been too good. We've lost to, God, I'm going to test my knowledge here, Sunderland at home, Bristol Rovers at home was one we should have won. Oh, God, Shrewsbury was another one. I forgot the fourth one. There was a fourth one, but I've forgotten it. Good supporter and a member of the Station West podcast, I know. teams that seem to sit back and try and hit us on the counter-attack tend to do quite well. The thing is that the last time we played against you, you didn't even attempt to go on the counter attack. It was like, and what was it, 60 seconds in, less than that we managed to find the breakthrough through Scully. Yeah. We'll be favourites, won't we, because of where we are in the league and what we're doing this year. But I'm sort of a pessimistic where I feel like it might be a potential banana skin for, you know, a lot of fans will be thinking, oh, you know, Northampton, we clapped them 4-0 last time, it's going to be 5 or 6, pretty much like I was before we actually pressed the record button. But now the record button's on, I'm going to be a bit more conservative and say that it's going to be a lot tougher than all those people would anticipate.
I've just had a quick look at that stats from that last game, that last meeting between the two sides. Danny, I just want to point out to you, now, of course, the only stat that matters is the goal line. You know, we know that, 4-0, we got it. However, possession, 51% and 49%, I mean, you know, in Lincoln's favour, but that's not too bad. Passes completed, 279 for Lincoln, 278 for us. A pass accuracy of 51% for us, 53 for them. I mean, if you just ignore the shots and shots on target columns and the goals, then we did all right in that game, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Great performance.
I do love the fact shots, 9 cobblers, 17.
I don't remember 9.
It reminds me of a game of FIFA I had last night. I had about 22 shots, 16 on target. This guy had 3 shots, 3 on target. He beat me 3-2, obviously.
Jake, you said you weren't going to tell anyone about that.
No.
well, look, let's go and actually get some predictions then. Danny, we'll start with you this week. And don't go for postponed.
Damn it, that was my go-to. The only thing that I can lay my hope on is that complacency issue. That you beat us 4-0 a few weeks ago and the players come back in and think this is going to be easy, which it probably will be. But that's the only way I can see us getting anything. But I just don't see it. Maybe 2-0 Lincoln, maybe. I think maybe we hold you off until second half and you get a breakthrough late on, but I just can't see us getting anything.
Okay. I'm going to be very optimistic and I'm going to say that we're going to get a 0-0 draw. And I think that's going to come down to the fact that there'll be a little bit of complacency from the Lincoln side. And I also think, you know, we've got three new signings that haven't played any minutes whatsoever yet for the Cobblers. And I think there will be a slight change. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we're going to turn into Liverpool or Man City here. However, I think there will be a slight change to the way that we play. Those signings for me that we've made in Mikel Miller, the striker Edmondson and Uncle Bryn. Uncle Bryn's coming in. He's gonna sort the Sunday roast dinner out, and it's all gonna be absolutely fine. I just think there's gonna be a slight shift away from the complete total football that we've total long ball that we've witnessed for the past 5 months or so, and we might just add those into the likes of Alan Sheehan and Sean McWilliams being back. I think we might just try and put some passes together this time, but I think we'll still look to frustrate Lincoln and it'll work this time, but there'll be that element of complacency from Lincoln's point of view. And besides, I just want to wipe a smile off Michael Apperson's face, if I'm being honest. A 0-0 will do that because he won't like it. So that's mine. Jake, come on, hit me. How many goals is your striker's going to put past us this time?
Postponed waterlogged pitch. I don't think you'll score. We have the second best defensive record in the division, and the fact that you guys seem to be incompetent in the other two thirds, you seem to be all right there. I feel like we might score a couple. We've got a few lads coming back from injury. Conor McGrandles is going to be massive for us. He was really big for us in our our run before Christmas, where we seem to be winning almost every week apart from the Sunderland game. Obviously, MK players, so he's weren't far away from you guys. But 3, I think we're going to probably put past, because we've got Brennan Johnson one side, Anthony Scully probably down the middle, and Morgan Rogers on loan from Manchester City. I'm not sure if you guys would have heard of him, but City paid about 4 or 5 million for him when they prized him away from West Brom a few years ago. So he's got a little bit to prove. He did well against Peterborough, the scum, as we probably both like to call them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, 3-0, comfortable home win. And Michael Appleton will be grinning in his post-match press conference, hopefully.
Oh, lovely. Well, look, Jake, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure having you on. Hopefully we will play this game, but if we don't, then it's just an excuse to get you back for another preview show.
Well, I mean, make it a hat trick. You know, I'm sure we can get Matty Sammons on as well, and we can have a right old get together with over a few beers.
Absolutely, we'll do it live on Facebook. It'll be really fun.
It's Bovril's for salmon, not beers.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, we can't be seen to being allowing Max drink anything else but Bovril. But honestly, thank you very much, Jake. Absolute pleasure speaking to you. Good luck for the rest of the season. I genuinely wish you well, and hope that you do end up getting that year in the Championship. But let's make it clear, it will only be 1 year. thank you for listening. And as ever, make sure you hit subscribe to never miss an episode. Thanks to Danny. And we'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully with some football to talk about. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Way, there's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.